Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my Magic Wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Don't stop asking questions if your provider like shuts you down. Keep going, because if you don't feel right, if you don't feel good, I can't tell you how many women come to me like, my doctor says my labs are normal. I'm like, well, they may be normal, but maybe we can optimize you with supplements. Maybe we can look at blood flow. Let's do some enhancers sexually if we need to do that, just even for sensation. There's like so many different things that we can do, right?
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Okay, so when you hear the words pelvic floor, what comes to mind? A visit to the OBGYN, maybe? The truth is, the pelvic floor is a hidden superstar of sexual pleasure for vulva and penis owners. We all have a pelvic floor, but the problem is we don't always know how to take care of it. Well, that changes today because you're about to hear from the pelvic floor expert herself, Dr. Patricia Wallace. On this episode, I talked to Dr. Wallace about living your best life in your best body and how focusing on the pelvic floor helps unlock our feel-good potential. We discussed the intricacies of orgasm because guess what? When you strengthen your pelvic floor, your muscles contractions get more intense and tiny muscles you didn't even know you had start amplifying your pleasure. We also heal pain and prolapse through pelvic floor rehab, and vulva owners will find a lot of relief hearing Dr. Wallace discuss aging and hormones. Turns out you can nurture your hormonal health well into menopause without scary side effects. Leave it to a doctor to put our minds and our vulvas and our penises at ease. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it, and I encourage you to do the same. Well, my intention is to give you an overview of how important it is to pay attention to your sexual health and the latest and greatest technologies that can help get you there. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, 5 Ways to Use Communication for Better Sex, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me a question, just call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Before we dive into the interview with Dr. Wallace, who is a pelvic floor rock star, I want to give you a little info about the importance of your own sexual health and some things that we cover in this interview. First, know that sexual health is important for both penis and vulva owners. We mainly discuss 2 things in this episode, pelvic floor strength and hormones. So I do talk about the importance of doing your Kegel exercises all the time. It makes for stronger orgasms. It can help with urinary incontinence. But a lot of us don't do the right technique. So I want to clarify something that I do talk about in the episode. And that is the BTL Emcella. You can go to their website and find a local provider. It's bodybybtl.com. So basically this chair, it's a phenomenon and it uses electromagnetic energy to deliver thousands of pelvic floor muscle contractions in a single session. So you're doing like 12,000 Kegels in 28 minutes. I've sat on this chair and it is really incredible. You sit on it with your clothes on for 28 minutes and you go a few times and it strengthens your pelvic floor. And I wanted to bring you more about this because I think that we just don't know a lot about a lot of the technology that's out there to help us all today. Men can also sit on this chair. They also have something called core to floor that BTL also has. So essentially, when I say core to floor, I mean that these are not only great for a six pack, but it also just helps your floor, which is the hammock of pelvic floor muscles. So when I say core to floor, if you use these technologies, the M-Sculpt Neo and Imcella, essentially that's building strength to these foundational muscles. And it can help with back pain, help you with balance and flexibility, incontinence, improve your sexual functioning and pleasure. So I've been really interested in these technologies for a long time and the importance of your sexual health and pelvic floor. And I always want to bring you new solutions to a lot of the sexual problems we all have. If you want to learn more about what we're talking about, you can check out bodybybtl.com or at BTL Aesthetics. Also, we talk a lot about hormones and I have tried bioidentical hormones the last few years and I would be happy to talk more about it on the show, but let me just say this. You really do need to find the right doctors. You might have to go to a few. A lot of doctors are not up on what we actually need when it comes to aging and hormones. And I've had mixed experiences. I do find that it's helped me with focus and energy and sexual health. It's really frustrating, especially being a woman, because a lot of doctors don't know a lot about this. You think you go to your gynecologist and she's going to be the one that's going to help you or he. And this is still pretty new information. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of our health insurance don't cover this. But I think that going through perimenopause and menopause, I'm going through it now and I'm trying to learn as much as I can to bring you the information. And what I'm finding is that everyone's body is different. We all metabolize hormones differently. We all need different things. And so that's why I'm saying that I wish there was a one size fits all solution. No matter where you're living in the world, I do believe that you can find people who are hormone specialists who will take the time with you, that you can get your hormones checked, you can meet with them frequently and see what is working for you. But you don't have to settle for any of the pain and suffering that comes along with a lot of these life changes. So you have to take your sexual health into your own hands. There's also more information about these technologies on our Instagram, on our IGTV. So check that out now at Sex with Emily. Dr. Patricia Wallace is dedicated to restoring pelvic health and women's wellness with the goal of supporting women living their best life, regardless of age or condition. Her focus on women's wellness includes comprehensive and integrative treatment for pelvic disorders, pelvic floor dysfunction, sexual health, menopause, and bioidentical hormone therapy, including BioT, pellet hormone replacement therapy. You can find more about her at pelvichealthwellness.com and her Instagram is pelvichealthwellness. Dr. Wallace, I'm so excited to be here in your office today. Thank you for having me because this is such a huge challenge for so many. I know you work with men as well, right? But it's mostly women. Mm-hmm. But we all have pelvic floors.
Yes.
And we all sometimes have challenges with our pelvic floors over time. Or especially I know for women, childbirth, hormone changes as we get older. So talk to me about pelvic health and wellness. Why is it important?
So thank you so much for being here. I can't even tell you what an honor it is to meet you, by the way. This is my practice. This is my dream. This is my baby. And I have so many amazing ideas of how to continue to develop education, awareness, and inspire women to live their best lives in their best bodies. So my field is called urogynecology or female pelvic medicine reconstructive surgery. And that field as an entity, as a specialty, takes care of all pelvic floor disorders. So what is a pelvic floor?
Yeah.
What is a pelvic floor disorder?
Right.
So we all have pelvic floors. You said
yes,
it already.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And the pelvic floor is an underachiever because none of us really know what it is. So it is made up of the muscles that hold our trunk, our legs, our bones, everything together. It's basically the foundation of your core. And it's interesting. I didn't really understand this until maybe the last 5 years, that our core is made up of our abdominal wall, our back muscles, our glutes, and our pelvic floor. And men and women have the same exact pelvic floor. We have all the same muscles. And these muscles help us with our truncal stability. They help us stay continent. They help us have good sex. And so it's unfortunate that not many people are aware of their pelvic floors.
Right, exactly. Until there's a problem with it.
Until there's a problem. And so that leads you to pelvic floor disorders.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So someone comes to your office. Yep. What's going to bring them here?
So I see women age 16 to 100. My oldest patient is 100, and she's a spitfire. She's so amazing. She's amazing. But what usually gets women into my practice, and actually on average, women see 5 different doctors and maybe wait 6 years before they come to a practice like mine.
Amazing.
The first thing that brings women to the practice is recurrent bladder infections, because women have sex and we get bladder infections all the time.
All the time.
And so I have little tips and tricks that I tell women all the time about how to do that.
Okay, can we just...
like massive biohacks.
I kind of want to go there right now.
We can go there.
Okay, just real... are they quick hacks? Like,
quick.
Because I get that question all the time. Why do I keep getting a UTI? Why do I keep getting... why? Why do we do that?
Well, it's mechanical. It just pushes stuff around and things get shoved in our urethra and our bladder is receptive to bacteria. And so all the basic tips that we know about, or some women actually don't know, you know, you have to void after intercourse.
Yeah, pee after
or
sex.
Really any sort of play, you have to get the urine out.
Right.
And then certainly maybe rinsing the area. These are little tips and tricks. But my biohack is taking a supplement called D-mannose.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
No.
So D-mannose is a sugar that travels through the body undigested, lands in the bladder, makes the walls slippery, and the bugs stick to the sugar, and then they wash away.
Oh, so that helps from women who are getting repeated bladder infections.
And so I put women on that all the time.
Got it. So those are the 16, maybe the younger women coming to see you.
Yeah, actually. So women young, sexual as a trigger, but then you hit menopause, hormones go down, estrogen reduces in the vaginal area if they're not taking supplements. And then we have that secondary peak in life of recurrent UTIs in menopause. And I see so many women who then avoid intimacy in all shapes and sizes because they're worried about bladder infections because they're so painful.
Wow. I have heard that they're getting UTIs again. And again, this is because of the loss of hormones, estrogen.
Which puts their urethra at risk.
Exactly. Okay. So, I mean, doesn't it ever amaze you that there's women that more than half the population is going to go through menopause? And something about perimenopause to menopause could be like a 10-year transition.
Sure.
And yet we know nothing.
It's
still shrouded in mystery. It's still called the transition or the changeover. Right. But this is why I'm doing this show, because I get so many questions about this all the time. What do I do? I'm going through perimenopause. Is it perimenopause? My partner's going through it. She doesn't want to have sex. There's pain, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like you get that every single day.
Every day.
What would you say? Like a woman comes in, like, let's talk about that. A woman who's like, I think it's perimenopause. What's your first step?
So the first thing I tell women is that you don't get through menopause. You go into menopause and you never leave. Because that is the third stage of our life where we enter into a hormone deficient state. So my philosophy is, why would you ever deprive yourself of these beautiful substances that keep you youthful and help reduce your risk of chronic illness? So the whole concept of transitioning into menopause just means 1 year no bleeding. And then you're postmenopause, but I use them interchangeably.
Right.
And the 10 years leading up to it is the perimenopause, where we start to have mood changes and our cycles go crazy. And our sex drive drops precipitously in like our 30s because testosterone is just going down, down, down. And so once we hit that wall, everything gets low. And my really goal is to educate women before that so they know and prepare for this stage of life and help them have better vitality and longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about hormones, which is unfortunate because it has a bad rap from 20 years ago when there was the study that sort of scared everybody off of hormones. And that study is really not very applicable these days.
Are you talking about the study that said that you shouldn't take hormones because it's going to cause breast cancer?
Correct.
Okay.
The Women's Health Initiative.
Women's Health Initiative mm-hmm. that said that. So yeah, there's a lot of women like, well, I can't take hormones. Because I hear from women of all ages who are having hormone challenges. It could be from the birth control pill.
Right.
It could be from other medications. There's just so many things that we just didn't understand about hormones and we're starting to understand now. So you start with them testing their hormones first?
I do. So we have a comprehensive questionnaire, and I'm always asking women about their life goals, their body goals, their wellness goals. So most women want to lose weight. Everybody's afraid of cancer. But what people don't know is that we die more of heart disease. So I'm like, we just need to make a plan for your wellness for the rest of your life. And then we talk about their sexual wellness. So how is your orgasm? And I ask all the time, how's your orgasm? Is it clitoral? Is it vaginal? Because I'm learning so much even at this stage of my life of how to access those
That's
things.
Great. What did I say?
80% of women can't have a vaginal orgasm. That is tried and true even in my practice,
yeah,
like the answer.
Totally fine. Yeah.
But here's an interesting fact. 80% of women can't do a pelvic floor contraction. And so I think they're related. And that's why I think chair works for that.
Oh, they can't do the Kegel squeeze.
They can't, and I think it's related to your ability to tap into the vaginal orgasm. I know that the guest you had said it was technically like the G-spot lower clitoral orgasm, but I
yes.
still think there's a higher up
okay,
vaginal
wait,
orgasm.
Okay, wait, talk about this. Let's talk about the machine then.
Yeah.
So this is like basically an orgasmic machine.
Well, I mean,
it could help.
Everybody wants to call it the orgasm chair. What I would say is that my experience with women, and I check women every single day, is that one, we don't have body awareness on how to identify muscles in our abdomen, in our pelvic floor. They can't do a Kegel or a pelvic contraction. And so I send women to pelvic floor physical therapy to learn technique and breath because we don't do the right breath, right? And it's funny, when I go around for BTL, the first thing I do at the beginning of my lecture is I teach the entire audience how to do proper yogi breathing with a pelvic floor contraction.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Dr. Wallace is going to walk us all through how everyone, yes, even you listening, can do a Kegel. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, this is important.
It's so fun. So okay. I've learned this from the physical therapist. So the first thing you want to do is make your feet flat on the floor.
Okay.
And then kind of scoot your triangle, your mm-hmm. perineum, a little bit more forward on the chair so you can kind of feel it. So you can rock back and forth on your sit bones. And hands are on your hip, on your knees. And then let's just do a couple of breaths before we work on the pelvic floor. So in yoga, we breathe in and we puff our belly up.
Okay.
And as we exhale, pull your belly button in and you're doing it perfectly. Let's do it again. And then exhale. Now, I want you to think a little bit about your perineum. And when you exhale this time, notice if it
perineum,
lifts.
Let's just explain it
so
for the
perineum
listeners.
Is the space, the triangle that's between your sit bones. So imagine like the front of your pubic bone back to your tailbone. And you just want to sit forward a little bit. And one of the tricks the physical therapist says, they roll up a towel and you sit on it so you can feel it.
Yeah.
But you can feel it pretty good if you just kind of sit forward.
And all genders could be doing this right now.
Men and women have the same pelvic floors.
Yes.
And so the men in the audience have to do it too. And I hear them breathing and doing it.
Yeah, they're like, we have Kegel, we can do it.
So we're going to inhale and puff up our bellies. And as you exhale, do you feel your pelvic floor lift up a little bit off the chair? It's like a little natural elevator.
Yes.
And do it again.
Yes.
And then exhale. And you can really pull it up if you practice. But it's so opposite
when you're breathing out,
you're lifting it up. It's opposite of what you think.
It is. Well, that's why it's so tricky. And it takes a beat. So that's kind of how you can locate it. And we do, a lot of times we do them wrong, incorrectly all the time.
We're just like pulling in and squeezing our butt cheeks.
Okay. So you have found that women that aren't able to do that, because I always say it's your pee stopping muscles.
Like, right, which we don't want people to do it while they pee because it's not good for your bladder. But you can do it just to check it.
Yeah. Right, just to check. I always say it's the pee, because just so you guys know what we're talking about in the vicinity, it's your pee stopping muscles. Like, let's say someone's knocking on the bathroom door and you're peeing and you're like, oh, I got to stop. It's those muscles. Yeah. That's your,
yeah.
But it still can be hard to identify and to make sure you're doing it right.
Right.
So right. Now you have this.
The chair.
Right. This chair blew my mind that you could sit on a chair fully clothed and it does your Kegels correctly.
It does. Well, it does them for you.
For you.
And, you know, my discussion with women is, first of all, we can't do enough to ever get strong. And who wants to stick a vaginal weight in there and walk around and try to do bodybuilding when we're just trying to even get shapely in our arms and the rest of our body? So I'm just like, I have no time for that. So,
I did it once. I wore it around to a meeting and then it fell out and it was embarrassing.
Exactly. That's a problem. It rolls out your pants and onto the floor.
It was embarrassing. Okay.
So the chair, the M-Cella chair, M meaning electromagnetic, cella meaning chair in Greek, delivers supramaximal pelvic floor contractions. And it actually gets the entire pelvic floor.
Okay.
So even when we're doing or practicing those, we can't recruit all of those muscles. And it's made up of a bowl of muscles of very fancy names, right, of the pelvic floor muscles. Right. And so it actually does about 12,000 of those in a 28-minute session.
Okay.
And so people are like, and first I was like, well, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Right. Like, do you ever, can you do 12,000 in a lifetime?
No.
Right.
Right. Okay. And so that's what I tell women, like, even one session you do more than you would ever do.
Okay.
But what happens is, just like any muscle that you fatigue, you get bodybuilding of your pelvic floor. And so after you've done the base of six sessions, which is what they figured out gives you that predictable result.
Okay.
And there's MRI data to show that the muscles are thicker and lifted. So they've actually done scientific studies, which I think is amazing.
That's
just the anatomic changes.
Okay. And so what are the other changes?
They looked at quality of life questionnaires that reduces incontinence.
Which is sneezing and peeing.
Sneezing and peeing, or I got to go to the bathroom and I'm leaking before I get there.
Yeah.
But the last studies that they've done, and the male studies are about to be published too.
Yeah.
Is that women have an improvement in all five domains across the female sexual function index. So lubrication, arousal, desire even.
Come on, really?
Satisfaction and orgasm. Just from the six sessions on the chair.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's incredible. So you're saying the women that were previously not even able to do this Kegel squeeze correctly, after six sessions...
They had satisfaction, if you will.
It's more satisfaction
than
they did before.
So whether they can actually physically recruit their own muscles and have that mind-body awareness... It has not been actually looked at because that's hard to impact. You know, I can give women
really
hormones, send them to physical therapy, give them vibrators, and they're not going to get all five domains increased on that.
And then for men, what are men seeing?
Well, so they're studying that, so
right.
I don't actually
can't
know
really
the results.
Talk.
But they're looking at orgasm in men. I'm hoping there's going to be some data on erectile dysfunction, but I think that all men who have post-prostatectomy, 95% of men have urinary incontinence. So men need to get in here and sit on this right away, because no man wants to go into a physical therapy office and start doing Kegel.
No, you can't even tell him. First, you have to explain to him that he can do Kegels, and it's a whole thing. We've already lost him at
that
point.
That's a lady
thing. Okay, exactly. So let's go back to, we were talking about orgasms.
Right.
Women come in, and you're helping them with that, and you're helping them with hormones. So you test their hormones. I get this every day. What do I do? Is it perimenopause? So I always say get your hormones checked first, and then you get your hormones checked, and then you look for... Like, couldn't most women at a certain point or men need some hormones?
True. And so hormones encompasses a lot of things. We always think of hormones as estrogen or testosterone, but thyroid optimization is so important. So I've done a lot of studying about how to functionally improve that. And then our adrenal glands, because that helps with our metabolism and our energy.
Okay.
And so I look at all of those. And there's lots of different ways to test hormones. I happen to be someone who looks at blood levels versus saliva levels. And
there's so many different.
And there's lots of different ways. And if your doctor is an expert in that area, then you go with that.
Okay.
But I will say, unfortunately, that conventional doctors, conventional providers, are not going to treat someone whose lab values fall within the parentheses of the lab.
Okay.
And when you look at functional medicine, you have to look at the optimal range of hormones. And so my goal is to continue to help people be in the optimal range.
Okay.
And depending on their age, women after 30 can take testosterone because all of us are low. And the challenge is that we don't have an FDA-approved form of testosterone for women. So all of us who take care of women are treating off-label, but it's fully accepted.
Okay.
And the ranges that we get women in are outside the lab parentheses, which some people would look and go, oh my gosh, your testosterone is too high. Well, we're not giving them sex change levels. We're giving them levels to feel awesome and build muscle and have a really good sex drive.
Okay, so you're finding that once you replace the hormones and a lot of their, and it's estrogen, testosterone, progesterone.
Depending on their age
and what they need, that you feel, how does their sexual functioning change? Like, what is the differences that you see?
So it's interesting because I will say that women late, a little bit older, like 40s to 60s, they see a bigger bump when you give them testosterone than someone who's younger.
Okay.
Right? Because it's not all about testosterone and desire. I mean, there's so many things, as you know, right?
Right. A lot goes into it.
I mean, it's life and it's body image and it's, do I like my partner? Do I like myself?
Exactly. Right. So it's not that everyone needs hormones, but is there any like basic advice you have? Just like how you said you had your hacks for like UTIs. Like, what are the first steps for women who are thinking that it's perimenopause, let's say?
Right. So definitely don't stop asking questions if your provider like shuts you down. Like, keep going, because if you don't feel right, if you don't feel good, I can't tell you how many women come to me and like, my doctor says my labs are normal. I'm like, well, they may be normal, but maybe we can optimize you with supplements. Maybe we can.
Supplements are important too.
Right? Maybe we can look at blood flow. Let's do some enhancers sexually if we need to do that, just even for sensation.
What's an enhancer sexually?
Well, there's like so many different things that we can do, right?
Okay.
I mean, there's like, that's another hack, right?
Okay.
So there's this spray that you can do under your tongue, not down there, that has L-arginine and norvaline in it.
I've heard about this.
Which feeds into the nitric oxide pathway. And there have been studies that Viagra doesn't really work in women.
Right.
But this kind of feeds that blood flow arousal kind of component.
Right away? Is it immediate?
Well, so it's supposed to be a daily supplement just like anything else. But I tell women you can probably take it like a couple hours before if you know you're going to be intimate, because I feel like there's a little surge.
A surge. Okay. Yeah.
So there's like
hacks
like
that. I think we have to normalize the fact that every woman's going to go through some change in their sex drive, in their desire, in their bodies.
So
it's
change. What I hear a lot, which is sad, and it makes me sad for women, is that, you know, I feel bad for my husband because I just don't really want to have sex anymore. I'm like, don't you feel bad for you? Because having a good orgasm and good sex is like amazing. And let's figure out how we can tap into that.
Yeah, it's like we have orgasm amnesia. When we don't have it, we forget that we liked it. We're like, no, you liked sex, remember? Don't you want that too? It sounds like that's what you're saying to them.
It's true, but you know, you get to talk to so many different people, and in sort of the regular population, a lot of people haven't really ever even had the amazing orgasm. And some women are relying on their partners to give them orgasm. And
yes.
I'm like, you need to watch Sex with Emily because you're responsible for your own pleasure.
You're responsible for your own orgasm. And then you can share with your partner what you need orgasmically.
And I'm trying to educate women younger now. So I'm seeing like sort of the postpartum population. And I teach
Let's talk about that postpartum.
Right.
That's
so
a whole other thing.
I teach a class here. And we teach to couples who are pregnant.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is what's going to happen to your pelvic floor, but this is what we can do afterwards. And by the way, it's 2 and now it's 3. How do you get back to you and you as a couple? And so we normalize what it's like to be sexually active during pregnancy, what it's going to be like in that fourth trimester after transitioning back to a normal intimate life. And what happens with your hormones are really low. You have no sex drive. Everything hurts. You might have a scar now. And how do you get back to that?
Well, we have to normalize this as well, because most women who have postpartum depression, and we just don't like, people have to come out and admit it. I would think that every woman would have something like after, because your hormones are going to change. So wouldn't you have some kind of depression or mood change afterwards?
It's common to have some sort of transition. But I will say that it's natural that the hormones are down and we're breastfeeding, and that serves a purpose to nourish the baby and not get pregnant again.
Honestly, I know we're getting so many questions too from people saying, pregnant sex, can you talk about it? What happens? So if a couple comes in, what do you tell them is going to happen? What kind of sex should they look for during pregnancy?
I mean, if you have no risk factors, you can have any kind of sex you want during pregnancy. And there's so much blood flow down there that you might have like the best sex of your lives. You know, again, normalizing that. Mm-hmm. Positions are obviously like side lay is a really good one because the belly gets in the way and it's not comfortable to be on your back.
Exactly.
When you have this big belly eventually. Mm-hmm. And then postpartum, depending on childbirth, you know, you just have to wait till things are somewhat healed, because everybody has, it is still somewhat traumatic.
It is traumatic. Well, that's the other thing. I think that doctors, a lot of them tell women, you're going to be great in 6 weeks, and they're not, and then they start feeling depressed.
Yeah.
How many women are really ready at 6 weeks?
It's not really realistic.
No, it's not.
It really isn't. I would say like 3 months is probably realistic.
So, exactly. After the break, Dr. Wallace and I set the story straight on how childbirth really affects the mother's body. So what would you say to women who say, like, I have some friends who are like, I don't know if I want to have a baby because I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my body.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a urogynecologist and I had 3 vaginal births.
Okay.
The data says that that causes incontinence, prolapse, et cetera, et cetera. But it's interesting. I'll see women who've had 6 babies and nothing is falling down and everything is perfect.
Okay.
And some women will have 2 babies and things are relaxed.
Okay.
So you have to control the birth and not have a huge baby. And the bottom line is hopefully now.
What do you mean not have a huge baby? How do you control that?
Well, OBGYNs will keep track of size of the baby.
So you have a C-section or something.
Right, which is not as readily available. And we don't want to do prophylactic C-sections because that's a big surgery.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And you know, you're making scars and you have risk factors associated with that. So I would say that it's a miracle of life. It's a natural thing. But guess what? You don't have to wait till you're 55 to address and prevent some of the issues that I take care of later in life.
So what happens? So what could people do right now to take care of that after they are having prolapse? Or they, like, would you put them on the chair? You have some of the other, like, I know you have the Core to Floor program. Mm-hmm.
So I would even say before that, pressures on the pelvic floor, marathon runners, CrossFitters.
I used to be a marathon runner.
Volleyball players.
Okay.
Right? So everybody's pounding is putting pressure on their pelvic floor. Yeah. Educating women like who are younger, even in their 20s, yeah. like you need to strengthen your pelvic floor. Like the millennials, they just need to know what they need to do. I'm like, you need to have a strong abs. Why do I need to have a strong pelvic floor? So you don't pee your pants later on in life. Just sit on the chair, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Be aware of your muscles. And in our 30s, when women maybe have babies, maybe not, or are starting to have different changes in their bodies. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to know that you have to have strength in your core and you don't have to wait till you're leaking or till you're having orgasmic dysfunction or lack of sensation with sex or you have a lower back issue and, oh, by the way, I need to strengthen my core for that too.
Because a lower back can be related to
weak everything, weak belly, weak pelvic floor.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. A lot of women are going to go to their gynecologist.
Right.
And their gynecologist might say, take an antidepressant or here's some synthetic hormones, but they don't have as much of the range. And a lot of women have to go pay out of pocket.
Right.
Right? Because a lot of it isn't covered by insurance.
Right.
But that's, I'm just trying to, like,
sure.
And then I think it's 2021 and there are more resources now and more women are talking about it. But I'm just thinking, like, keep asking questions. You might have to go to 4 or 5 or 6 doctors.
Exactly. And here's the challenge. I think that a lot of women understand that insurance pays for illness, but it doesn't pay for wellness. And so I think that now that we're getting information out there and women realize, like, my body doesn't feel normal, I don't feel normal, they're going to keep seeking answers until they get the right answers. And so being your own advocate is so important. And if your provider, your OBGYN, your family medicine doctor is not running hormones, but you need full blood panels, running, you know, getting your hormones checked, your testosterone, your estrogen, your progesterone, your DHEA, which is your adrenal gland, and your thyroid. So many people are suboptimal on their thyroid, and that alone can help with your body composition, your energy. And you may not need any hormone supplementation rather than replacement, because what I tell all of my patients is that we just outlive our endocrine glands. We're living 30 more years than we used to 200 years ago, and we just haven't caught up. So whether it's the testes for testosterone or the ovaries for testosterone and estrogen or the thyroid or the adrenal glands, we're going to need some sort of supplementation if you want to feel like a normal person.
Okay. And it's safe.
And it's safe.
Tested. Yeah. This is just the information we have to get out here. We absolutely have to get out there. Mm-hmm. So what about, is there anything else like with medications or anything that you find that people are coming in for that might be affecting their ability to have sexual pleasure or to have orgasm or...
Right. And you've probably talked about this too, but it's true. So many women, just today I saw a patient and she's like, she cannot take estrogen, unfortunately, because she has a blood clotting disorder.
Okay.
Even though if you go through the skin, it's safer, but you know, you just kind of have to be mindful of certain considerations. And so she was put on an antidepressant, an SSRI, which we know notoriously not only reduces sex drive, but blunts orgasm. And so does the birth control pill in certain ages of women. And so medications are a big one. Hypertensive medication, even migraine medication. And so you're kind of working around those medications in trying to restore someone's sexual health.
Okay. Some of the practices, we talked about the chair, but what about the cortiflor.
Cortiflor.
Can you just tell me real quick about that?
So I'm a big advocate of being strong. Like, I think strong is beautiful. I like to lift weights. I've lifted weights since I was 15. But, you know, when I was a cheerleader in high school and they decided that the football coach was going to take all the cheerleaders into the football weight room, and we all started lifting weights with the football players so we could be strong. And so I have never put down my weights.
Oh my God.
And so my biggest thing for my patients who are concerned about their body composition is you have to have muscle on your body. You don't have to be a bodybuilder, and your body is going to shape the way it's going to shape. I had to embrace my thighs at some point in my life and my butt. And everybody's like, what are you doing to your arms? And I'm like, that's the one part I've never M-sculpted. But the bottom line is that when you have a strong core, it's more than just looking good in your clothes or your bathing suit. It's important for your back. It helps with balance as we age. It helps with our continence. So cortiflor to me is strengthening your abdominal wall, strengthening your back, strengthening your glutes, and strengthening your pelvic floor. And I am so blessed to be able to have three of the devices that BTL offers that are cortiflor devices. So the M-cell gets the pelvic floor, but it also recludes the lower abs a little bit and the glutes, right? And you've sat on it before.
I've sat on the chair several times.
Isn't it an interesting...
I might want to stay and stay on your chair.
I sit on it once a week and chart sometimes on the internet. It's hilarious. I've got like two computers.
I love it.
But, you know, the magnetic energy delivered to wherever you deliver that energy typically is going to build muscle. And if you activate the radio frequency, which is the heat, it's going to reduce fat and tighten the skin. And I think when I first was looking at, for example, M-Sculpt, the original one, there wasn't the radio frequency. And I'm like, you need to burn fat before I'm going to get that device because I can build all the muscle I can in someone, but they're not going to see it.
Right.
And so I think that now that we have consistent scientific studies that show both effects.
That's incredible.
So I think it's just been an amazing, for me, way to present to patients why it's important to be strong cortiflor for pelvic and sexual health.
I mean, it is about yourself. That's the thing.
There's a lot of aesthetic benefits. Great.
Yes.
Get a six pack. But you know what? If you're strong, you are sexy from the inside out. And I love that because you feel confident.
Yeah, exactly. I love that it's inside out. It is true because when you have that stronger core, you walk straighter, you feel more comfortable
Posture's
in your body,
better.
Your posture, everything. It does make a difference. It helps. I did it too, helped with my back pain, which I had for a long time. It's kind of miraculous.
And I teach hot yoga at a studio locally. And I have some yogis that have come in. And they're like, they always sit out the ab portion of class. And then they came in and do the M-Cella and the M-Sculptor. And they're like, well, now I know where my abs are. So they're going to do their abs. So it's almost like a forward motivator as well, even if you're not someone who's into exercise.
Okay.
Because you start to feel and notice parts of your body that you probably never were aware of before.
Okay.
And you don't have to be an avid exerciser. You can be someone who really has limited mobility but just needs to build a little bit of strength. So it's just fascinating. I think the sky's the limit for the application of cortiflor strengthening.
Okay. It's really important. I mean, I wish I knew all of this. So I love that you have this advice for people of all ages right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're running marathons or you're lifting weights too heavily, like in your 20s, I guess when you're young, you think, oh, well, this will never happen to me. Or you just think about it. But
and then it hits us.
It hits us. That's it. That's great. Well, this is so helpful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I so appreciate you. Dr. Wallace, I have to ask you the five questions that we ask all of our guests.
Oh my gosh.
Ready? They're super quick. I know. They're quickie questions as we call them.
Let's hope I know these.
You will. Quickly. Okay. What's your biggest turn on?
Probably when someone goes out of their way to do something for me because I'm an acts of service person.
Oh, okay. What's your biggest turn off?
Can it be physical?
Anything.
Like dirty fingernails?
Yes, totally. That's totally legit. What makes good sex?
I think communication. Yeah, between partners, for sure.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships?
Oh, wow. Probably that you are technically responsible for your own pleasure and that you would want to, that I would want to educate myself as much as possible now, right?
Right. Yeah. Number one sex tip.
Oh, I am such, one of my other biohacks is OSHOT CBD arousal oil. I love it.
Oh, okay. Didn't know.
I love it. So I would say use that externally.
CBD arousal oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
OSHOT.
Okay. Got it. All right.
My favorite.
Oh my God. Good. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is so helpful. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.